The book of Matthew, chapter 9. We sure trust everybody had a wonderful Christmas and that you'll have a wonderful new year. We never know what a year will bring when we look back over this year. There's so many things happened that we didn't expect to happen, and we never know what lies ahead. But I'm glad that We may not know the future, but we know who holds the future. And so we can trust in the Lord and depend upon His wisdom and grace. No matter what comes our way, God's grace is sufficient for us. Matthew chapter 9, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, beginning at verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came, sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Father, we are so glad this morning that we have been the recipients of the mercy of God. I ask you to help us to show mercy. Thank you this morning, Lord, for the gospel message, for the call of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that when we were in darkness, there came a summons to enter into the light. We thank you, Lord, that you have made such a difference in us. Oh, God, brought us out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of the family of Satan, incorporated us into the family of God, gave us the opportunity to call God our Father. I pray that you'd help us this morning to worship you. And I pray that the Word of God would take root in somebody's heart. Bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak this morning for a few minutes on called to repent. Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus was being criticized in my text this morning for eating with publicans and sinners. And as a result of that criticism, Jesus declared the purpose of his ministry. He said, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He was the great physician. Jesus was the great physician. And his interest was in the sick. His instructions to those that were sick in their sins was repentance. I have come to call sinners to repentance. Repentance means changing directions in life. Repentance means making a 180-degree turn. Repentance is a changing of our mind. A changing of our mind about God. It's a changing of our mind about sin. We have to change our mind about God because the devil has convinced us that God is the spoiler of life. And we have to believe that God is the giver of life. Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. We have to change our mind about sin because the devil has convinced us that this is the real purpose for living, is to sin. One Right famous man Oscar Wilde said that he heard his mother say as a young man, she said, I have lived long enough to discover that the only reason to live is for sin. And he took that philosophy in his life. And many people have adopted this philosophy without saying so, but they feel like they cannot live without their sin. But God wants to change your mind about sin. He wants you to understand the true dangers of sin and what sin does to us, not only in this life, but in the life to come. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus was involved in a ministry of healing, healing souls. He came to call men to repentance. He had just ministered to a man by the name of Matthew. And this man Matthew became one of his disciples. Matthew was a publican. And Jesus passed by where he was carrying out his business and called him to come and follow Jesus. This man Matthew was a tax collector, and like all tax collectors, he wasn't very popular. However, he was especially unpopular because this man was working for a foreign conquering country, the country of Rome. So he was considered a traitor, but to his people, he was also looked on as being dishonest because so many of the tax collectors cheated their fellow citizens and padded their own pockets. And so Matthew was involved in a business that was financially profitable, but also involved many temptations that most men could not overcome. Since his name is Levi, and that you'll find in the scriptures that not only was he called Matthew, he was also called Levi. Since his name is Levi, he was probably from the tribe of Levi, which is the priesthood tribe. Possibly he was a renegade priest, doing like so many preachers in our modern times have done, forsaken the ministry for the money. And this man had perhaps forsaken his ministry for the money. But he was no doubt familiar with the Old Testament, the messianic passages, the fact that Israel was looking for Messiah. And in fact, he is the man that wrote the book I just read from. And in this book, he makes 99 direct references to the Old Testament passages. 99 direct references. And over, Matthew relates in the life of Jesus, this happened according to the scriptures. A Levi, a man familiar with the Old Testament, no doubt familiar also with what Christ had been doing in Capernaum, in the area where he lived, and it's very possible that he'd already been considering the man that walked by him that day and said, come, follow me. But Matthew responded immediately to Jesus, walked away from his business, from his financial security, and began to follow Jesus. Jesus created a crisis in his life. Matthew would have been all right if Jesus had not said something to him. But Jesus said something to him. He said, come, follow me. I want you to make a change in life. I want to change a direction in your life. I want you to come and follow me. Boy, Jesus really upsets things in our lives when he comes and speaks to us and calls us away from our comfort, calls us away from our manner of life that we are so familiar with, and says, I want you to change things. I want you to come and follow me. You know, the Bible says that Jesus saw him. That Jesus, verse 9 of my text, he saw a man. Mark says he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Luke says he saw a publican. And that word saw carries the connotations of he observed and understood. He observed and understood this man Levi, son of Alphaeus. This man who was a publican, he understood him. He saw that he was one of those sick people he had come to heal. He may have had a lot of money in his pocket. He may have been a prosperous merchant. But Jesus saw him. He observed him and understood this was one of those sick people that Jesus had come to heal. Brother, you may put on a good front, but I'm telling you, if there's sin in your life, Jesus knows you, and you are one of those Jesus came to heal. Amen. This man was one of those that Jesus had come to heal him. The great physician walked by this sick man and said, come, follow me, Jesus said. Jesus knew he had the answer to this man's dilemma. Bible says he left all, rose up and followed Jesus. That was a radical challenge issue to him. And he made a radical change of direction and left the old life behind and began to follow Jesus with all of his heart. Now listen, I want to tell you, repentance always brings visible results. Did you hear me? I said repentance always brings visible results. When the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, we want you to baptize us. Brother Mike taught us on water baptism this morning. They said, we want you to baptize us. John said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. In other words, I want to see in your life that you have really repented before I baptize you. So he demanded that there be fruit in these people's lives that indicated they had really repented. And repentance always brings about visible results. I've told you before about the woodcutter. Always took advantage of his neighbors by cutting the logs a few inches under the required 4 feet. Report began to circulate in the community that the woodcutter had gotten saved. Nobody believed it. And one man who heard it in the local store slipped out of the store, came running back, reported to the men in the store, he said, it's so. They said, how do you know? He said, well, I measured the wood he cut yesterday and it's a good 4 feet long. It convinced that crowd that this man really had gotten saved, that he really had repented. Because he's cutting the wood 4 feet long. There's always visible results when a man repents. There's a convict in Canada, had a life sentence. He served 17 years of that sentence. He was seeking an early release. The pastor was testifying on his behalf. And the judge wanted to know, asking the pastor, why release him? And the pastor said, because God has come into his life. The judge wanted to know, what does that mean? So the pastor explained how God makes a difference in people's lives. And after he got through, the judge paused a few minutes and then said, would you want this man to be your neighbor? And that really is the crux of the question. Is this man really changed? Is there really a difference in him? Is there visible results that this man has really repented of his sins? Ravi Zacharias said, the world has heard about the blood of Jesus that saves us from the guilt of sin, but now it's watching to see if it delivers from the power of sin. Repentance always brings about visible results. You all are familiar with the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 or chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, never to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Two kinds of sorrow here. One leads to repentance, one leads to death. The reason that the sorrow of the world leads to death is because it does not lead to repentance. Sorrow that does not lead to repentance leads to death. And I'm telling you, everybody has sorrow because of sin. But when that sorrow does not lead you to repentance, it leads you to death. The sorrow of the world worketh death. But now he's writing to these Corinthians because he has reproved them for something and they have repented of it. And now then he is giving to them the obvious results of their repentance. He says in verse 11, for behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. Here's the evidence of repentance. What carefulness it wrought in you. That is, it produced in you a vigilant attitude, lest you fall back into what you have just repented of. What carefulness it wrought in you. If a man has really repented of what he's been guilty of before God, there is a carefulness that comes into his life. He does not want to fall back into that same trap again. What, he said, yea, what clearing of yourselves, that is confessing, asking forgiveness, not only from God, but from man, that you have wronged. There is a clearing of ourselves. When we've repented of our sins, we want to be cleared before God. We want to be clear with our fellow man. Hallelujah. Here is the evidence of repentance. What carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. That is indignation against yourself for allowing this to happen in your life. What fear lest it happen again. Yea, what vehement desire. That is for righteousness. Whereas you once fell into sin because of your carelessness and because you love sin. But now there's a different desire in you. There's a desire for righteousness. There's a desire for holiness. There's a desire to please God and to be obedient to Him. This is the product of repentance. What zeal. Hallelujah. That is a readiness to obey God regardless of the sacrifices involved. This is the fruit of repentance. Yea, what revenge, that is against sin and the devil, so that we become zealous, we become crusaders for Christ. We want to see people saved and delivered from sin, and we hate what we once loved. This is the product of repentance. Repentance always is marked by obvious signs. In all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter, he said. Some man said the true penitent, get this, the true penitent is he who has the opportunity to do the same sin again in the same circumstances and who does not do it. You get that? The penitent, the true penitent is that man who has the opportunity to do the same sin again in the same circumstances and who does not do it. Hallelujah. Repentance always brings about obvious results. You know, the era of the modern church. Y'all, am I losing y'all? Y'all still here? The era of the modern church is this. We promise salvation without repentance, and the Bible don't. I said, that's the era of the modern church. We promise salvation without repentance, but the Bible don't. The Bible demands repentance. If you're coming to Jesus, you've got to walk away from your sins. You cannot come to Jesus without repentance. There is no salvation. The Bible says in Acts 17:30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. So God don't want anybody to perish. But the only way to avoid perishing is to repent. Jesus said concerning some, the Tower of Siloam fell on. Concerning some, that Herod had them killed. He said, do you suppose that these men were sinners above all in Jerusalem? Nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is no salvation without repentance. If I'm going to repent of my lying, it means I'm going to stop my lying. Hallelujah. I can't go to God and say, God, I want you to forgive me for that lie I told yesterday, but I got to tell another one tomorrow to get out of that one I told yesterday. You're not going to get forgiveness like that. You're not going to get forgiveness until you decide in your heart, I'm through with my lying ways. Nobody gets forgiveness of sin. They're not willing to quit. God, forgive me of my pornography. Forgive me for this pornographic habit I've got. But you hold on to your magazines and keep them stuffed under your bed and behind your truck, behind your truck seat. And you're asking God to forgive you of it. You're not going to get forgiveness until you're willing to repent of it. Turn away from it. Stop it cold turkey. Now, Lord, I want you to forgive me for my fornicating ways. But listen, if you're planning to go back to bed with that person you've been fornicating with, you cannot receive forgiveness for it until you're willing to walk away from it. So there is no salvation without repentance. And what we have done is we've just asked people, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus. You believe he lived, died, and rose again. Shake the preacher's hand, sign this card, get dipped in the pool, and go on about your business. But that's not the Bible way. The Bible way is you must turn from your sins in order to be saved. And in saying that, we understand that you cannot stop your sinning on your own. But you have to agree to stop it by the help of God. And once you agree with God, God, I'll stop my sinning ways. I know I've sinned against you. I've sinned against your word and your commands. And by your grace, I will not go back to that way of life again. God will pronounce forgiveness on you and give you grace that you don't have to go back to that way of living again. Hallelujah. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. You know, I prayed three nights, not all night, but I went to the altar three times for God to save me before I got saved. And I was asking God every night, pleading with God, please save my soul. But you know, God would not do business with me on my terms. He would accept me only on his terms. And that third night when I went to the altar, I began to ask God not just to forgive me of my sins, but I began to agree with God that I was through with my sins. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. When I made that surrender to God, it was just like, I'm telling you, I know everybody's experience ain't just exactly the same. But when I made that surrender to God that night, I felt a load lift off of me as if somebody had pulled a weight off of my shoulders. And I felt so clean on the inside, like somebody had washed me
with the strongest detergent on the inside, and they had. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Once you turn away from your sins, you agree with God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, what did he say? God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, I'm telling you, I love Jesus because he first loved me. He came to save that which was lost. He came to heal that which was sick. He came to call men out of darkness into marvelous light. He reminded those who were critical of him having this supper with these sinners. He reminded them. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And God wants to have mercy on some soul right here in this service this morning. I'm telling you, there's a Savior walking these aisles this morning. There's somebody looking for souls. He wants to show mercy unto you today. Why don't we stand together? Altars are open. Jesus is calling. He desires to show mercy to you.